You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, was formed more than 60 years ago during the JFK administration as a tool in foreign policy with the goal of ending extreme poverty, supporting democratic societies, while spreading American influence across the world. But as of this morning, many government links to USAID have been scrubbed, and the homepage has been reduced to a notice that employees have 15 minutes to pick up their personal belongings. The federal agency was the first target of the Trump administration. On Inauguration Day, an executive order called for a freeze to all USAID funding, a move that is currently embroiled in a legal battle. In the meantime, though, funding to thousands of aid projects remains in limbo with local impacts. UC Davis is among colleges and universities across the country that receives USAID grants. Keith David Wattenpah is a professor and director of Human Rights Studies and joins us with more on how this federal funding supports the broader interests of the United States, as well as its long-term safety and security. Welcome.
Thank you, Vicky. It's wonderful to be here.
So I want to start with something that may be simplistic, because this isn't a federal agency that Americans touch on a regular basis. So let's just start with what USAID does. According to NPR, USAID spent tens of billions of dollars. It impacts more than 100 countries around the world. Money to help with governance, health, humanitarian aid. What does that look like on the ground?
Thank you. That's a wonderful question. I mean, first and foremost, USAID is about sharing American values, especially our interest in development, alleviating poverty, supporting the rights of others around the world in a way that's not just to help people around the world, but also to produce a return for the United States in building a more peaceful, secure, and prosperous world. At the core of the USAID idea is the projection of American soft power around the world through the support of initiatives to end poverty, to improve human rights, to improve education, women's empowerment, to build a more peaceful world. Because JFK and others, when they founded this organization, realized that it was better for us to project what is best about America and the world as a way to compete against totalitarian and authoritarian dictatorships. And in 10 days, Donald Trump and Elon Musk tore that organization apart, root and stem, ending what was a 65-year experiment in promoting democracy, health, nutrition around the world in an organization that really not just touched the lives of millions around the world, but also supported the development of generations of human rights and humanitarian specialists, and even helped promote the livelihoods of American farmers and American farmers to grow their crops and share them with the world. So we're at a really difficult moment in how America is going to engage with the world at large. And I'm really troubled. Mm. I'm really troubled by this.
Well, and of course, you're the director of Human Rights Studies at UC Davis. On the academic front, how long has UC Davis been a recipient of USAID grants? What does that money go towards?
So UC Davis has always been engaged with USAID. From its founding in the 1960s, UC Davis has been engaged in AID projects in Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, Southeast Asia. In particular, it's because of our incredible strengths in agriculture. AID was really at the forefront of helping people around the world engage with new forms, more modern forms of agriculture, but also in the sharing of knowledge about different kinds of seeds and produce that could grow better in changing environments and climates.
Is it primarily humanitarian aid, or is any of it research-based?
So a lot of it is humanitarian assistance that has a research side, right? So when UC Davis gets engaged in overseas assistance, not only are we directing practical solutions to problems, but our researchers, our scientists, and agricultural specialists are learning from that experience, and they're bringing home to America some of those critical lessons. Let me just give you an example of one of our programs. We're doing this, we were, until very recently, engaged in a massive project in Egypt, where we were working to develop the capacity of Egyptians themselves to try to address the fact that Egypt is almost out of water. So despite the fact that the Great Nile flows through Egypt, Egypt is water insecure. And doesn't that remind you of somewhere? California. So our scientists were collaborating with Egyptian scientists and policymakers to develop strategies to address how to deal with water insecurity, exchanging information, but also helping feed the people of Egypt who've been a long-term ally of the United States. And now that's done. And so not only are we not going to learn from that experience, but we have made the world less safe and less secure in doing so.
When talking about the funding, how much money are we talking about that UC Davis receives?
So the University of California, Davis receives $440 million in federal assistance. So it's about half of the $1 billion in grant and research assistance that we receive. And indeed, many of your listeners are probably aware that grants coming from the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundations are also under siege in this moment and are slated for being cut or eliminated altogether. Of that $440 million, roughly a quarter is dedicated towards the various projects that we do around the world. And with the loss of that, we're not only are we losing the capacity of UC Davis to really do one of the things that a modern research university is supposed to do, which is to address human need and human suffering, we're also not going to be in a position to train the next generation of young people who will be able to take those global lessons and then implement them here and abroad.
When it comes to transparency with funding, you know, at the root of DOGE is efficiency, right? That's the E in the acronym. What kind of accountability is there to ensure that the federal funding that is given to institutions like UC Davis are spent well?
I know in my own project, and this is true for many of my colleagues, we spend a great deal of our time measuring and evaluating the effectiveness of our projects, working with our finance teams to report. We report in some cases monthly or quarterly. No, we were incredible stewards of the money that was coming to us because we recognized that these are taxpayer dollars. But we also recognized that what we were doing was not just in to help people around the world, but in the interest of Americans. Let me give you another critical example of something that we're losing at UC Davis. We have this wonderful program called the One Health Workforce, and it was an effort to develop an enormous to share our expertise with people around the world in veterinary sciences, nursing, public health, and clinical work to understand how health and health problems are involved, animals and people, the environment and climate. But one of the important things about these people is that they're also trained to surveil and see and anticipate new kinds of global disease. So without this workforce, we are in danger of missing the next pandemic. In other words, we won't know it's happening until it's too late. So this project is over. And this generation of healthcare professionals that we were helping to develop, they're gone. It's over. And that's the kind of incredible, cruel short-sightedness that is at the heart of these actions being taken by the federal government. We're not even quite sure what the point is. If this is about efficiency, this was a government agency that received less than 1% of the total U.S. budget, but was helping millions of people around the world. I can't think of anything more efficient than that.
When you use the word over, how abrupt was this change following the executive order, the pause of funding? When did you feel that impact at UC Davis?
So we felt it within hours of the announcement. Many of my colleagues and I, we received what were called stop work orders that were very abrupt and said that either contracts had been canceled outright or that there was a period when projects were suspended to be evaluated. And, you know, in the case of the project that I administer, we received a note from our prime contractor to stop work immediately, file our paperwork, and fire everyone who was working for us in Southeast Asia.
And we're just talking about one academic institution, UC Davis. Let's broaden it. How common is it for colleges and universities to rely on this type of funding?
So, not just AID funding, but National Science Foundation funding, National Institutes of Health funding are really at the core of what makes the modern American research university the engine for good that it is. So without this money, we can't do things like study disease, develop new cures for illness, develop new biomedical technology. We can't understand the way fire works. There's an enormous amount of research and knowledge and expertise that is at risk in this moment. And not only that, this drawdown in funding means that my colleagues and I, we can't enroll new graduate students. We can't support junior scientists. We can't build the next generation of Americans who will help lead us into this century and meet the challenges of climate change, of global disease, of expanding authoritarianism around the world. We don't have that. And without it, our world is becoming a more unsafe place, more dangerous, and poorer. And I don't understand. We're befuddled is the best word.
I mean, you're laying out how this benefits academic institutions. And at the same time, this funding also helps millions of people across the world. For those who directly benefit from USAID funding, what are the immediate and long-term consequences to this funding being frozen?
So I think there's four main areas. The first is that lives will be lost. Just outright, lives will be lost. Due to a disruption in support for human rights initiatives, humanitarianism, and healthcare. The best example are the relationship between USAID funding and the distribution of life-saving drugs, especially drugs that prevent HIV from killing people in Africa and around the world. And while there's been some hint that this money has been freed up by the administration, there's no evidence that the administration has in fact done so. I mean, the second area is that livelihoods will be destroyed at home and abroad in this field of humanitarian assistance, human rights advocacy, and education. I already mentioned this. The small project that I was working on was a project that empowered refugee university students fighting against tyranny in their homeland of Burma to continue their higher education, but expand that to thousands of other young refugees. Their scholarships are ended. They'll be forced to return to the refugee camps. Their progress, forward progress, has been stalled, and we will not be able to stand beside them as they defeat the dictatorship. There'll be critical expertise and infrastructure and the data that we really need to promote human rights, to address poverty, to combat food insecurity, and what I talked about before, which is to be aware of new diseases as they emerge, so that we can mobilize to prevent a pandemic. And finally, and this goes back to the reason why JFK founded AID in the first place 64 years ago, which is that the U.S. presence, it was a positive presence in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the world, promoting health, education, human rights, peace, solidarity, has been abandoned. And it's created this incredible diplomatic and humanitarian void that will be filled by China, by Russia, by people who do not share our values, by people who are intent on exploiting others rather than lifting them up. And it's making us unsafe.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Professor Keith David Wattenpah, the Director of Human Rights Studies at UC Davis, about the local impact of USAID funding being frozen by the Trump administration. So when it comes to federal agencies, They're not perfect. There can be unintended consequences and harm. As a whole, I understand that you disagree with the move by the Trump administration and by DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. But are there some kernels of truth about the shortcomings and inefficiencies of AID?
So, like any government agency, like Capital Public Radio, like UC Davis, we always have, we should always be aware of how we are stewards of the other people's money. But the way that you reform and change an organization is systematically, is judiciously, is also trying to reform and destruction are not the same thing, right? And the problem is that I think that in subsequent years, the absence of USAID will be so profoundly felt by the American people and the U.S. government that it will need to rebuild something like it. And that will be costly and it'll be time consuming. So I see this across most of the rest of the government. I think most of your listeners now know someone who has lost a job in this current misguided frenzy of reform that is not reform at all, but just a slash and burn approach to American governance. And for me, as someone in human rights studies, there is a right to work. There's a right to not be exploited by the government. But there's also a right to dignity and telling an entire generation of government workers that their work is not in the interest of the U.S. government or they failed is a violation of some of their core human rights. And so the other thing I worry about is that federal judges are telling the administration that they need to stop doing this.
Right. Okay.
And
so
the administration is not doing that.
I want to get to that. They have until today. A federal judge has given the Trump administration today to comply to basically reopening the funding that's been frozen. How do you see this playing out?
I'm a historian, so I don't predict the future. But all evidence seems to suggest that this order will be disregarded by the administration. And so what this does, as time elapses, so what's happened is many USAID officials and workers around the world have had to come home. So they've had to abandon their posts abroad, fire the local staff, and it will be very difficult for them to retool and then get back abroad to start the programs. And unfortunately, that was the intent of the shock doctrine that was behind this assault on USAID. And it's similar to other areas of the federal government. And I think why AID was chosen first is in part because of its a demagogue can say, why are we sending this money abroad when there are problems here at home?
And, well, that was going to be my last question,
right?
Because there are Americans who agree that there's government waste. We should refocus on Americans who are suffering here at home. We should refocus on the problems here at home. So what would your response be to that?
American foreign assistance is one of the most cost-effective investment in the peace and security of our country ever imagined. And you know, as someone who has been in areas of starvation and areas where because people are poor, because they are ill, their rights are being violated, they radicalize and they're attracted to the ideologies that come home to haunt us. I have seen the bags of American food, wheat, corn, barley, emblazoned with the gift of the American people on them, which is telling people around the world we care about them and we want to help them and that we can stand beside them. We have now told the world that we are an unreliable partner, that we are not interested in democracy and democratization, that we, in fact, see them as alien and exploitable, and we just don't care about them. And that makes us unsafe. And so when people say there are problems here at home, I agree 100%. But the less than 1% of gross of the U.S. budget going to foreign assistance is not the place to cut. There are many other areas that should be done.
Professor Wattenpaul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Keith David Wattenbaugh is the director of human rights studies at UC Davis, and he's been explaining the impact of USAID funding being frozen by the Trump administration. UC Davis is among colleges and universities across the country that receives these types of federal grants to help people and refugees around the world. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.